For the first message this morning, we have Mr. Brandon Milner.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath. It's been about 3 to 4 weeks since our country went through its election process, and there have been many events following the results that were turned in. Donald Trump was elected the 45th president of the United States. And on this next January 20th, he will be sworn in on the steps of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. It was a long, bitter, hard-fought campaign against Ms. Hillary Clinton, and Mr. Donald Trump prevailed. The Republican Party has also retained control of the House and of the Senate. Now, one thing for sure is that it's going to be an interesting next 4 years. And people are still adjusting and adapting to the news of the reality of what has happened. And for many, it was a total surprise and a shock, and for many others, it was not. All across the country, there have been peaceful and not-so-peaceful protests against the outcome, the results that we got. One thing for sure is that Mr. President-elect Donald Trump is going to be facing a country that is divided, because this past campaign has brought out a lot of deep divisions that still lie here in America. Divisions between people, divisions between economical classes, and divisions between races and also religion. So our next president will face a lot of domestic and social issues, that he'll have to deal with, and that's just in addition to all the foreign issues that America is facing currently. So we can all agree that his job for him and his staff will not be easy. Today, I want to remind us all of the duty we have to pray for our president and his staff, which are our current leaders. I believe that in school we are taught that government comprises of four fundamental elements: a ruler, subjects, territory, and laws. And I think we can all agree that laws must be the biggest part of those elements. I want to quickly give you some information on how the government was created and how the separation between church and state became. So I'll do a little reading here, a little quickly. The first U.S. Amendment to the U.S. Constitution directs Congress shall make no law representing or an establishing of religion or promoting the free exercise thereof. So basically it just states the First Amendment does protect that right of religion. The first U.S. Congress adapted the first 10 amendments, known as the Bill of Rights, in 1791, and the First Amendment through extensive discussions and nearly a dozen drafts, it did show the clear intent of the Founding Fathers that they didn't want one Christian denomination to rule, to be running the nation, but they did intend, however, firmly for belief in Christianity and biblical principles should be a part of the American life. Now let's fast forward a little bit, a few years. In 1799, the decision was made in Maryland Supreme Court. Now it declared, by our form of government, the Christian religion is an established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed on the same equal footing and are equally entitled to protection in their religious liberty. Now, you can see it's going to start to change as we go down in history. In 1801, in Danbury, Connecticut, a Baptist church wrote to the President Thomas Jefferson after hearing a rumor that Congregationalism, if we're not familiar with that, Congregationalism can be explained as a separation from church and the state, where they wanted all the churches to be local that are local to be governed by themselves and by themselves. So they wrote a letter to the Thomas Jefferson about that rumor. Jefferson wrote back assuring the members that the First Amendment built a wall of separation between church and state, and for a century and a half, the common understanding of the First Amendment was that it prohibited establishing or sanctioning a single national Christian denomination. It was kept out of, it was to keep religion out of government, not the other way around. Later on in the 1870s, a group lobbied to have specific Christian principles removed from government. The court cited Jefferson's law not to support that removal, but proved that it was permissible to maintain Christian values, practices, and principles in official policy. So for the next 15 years during that controversy, the courts went back and forth over that letter, and they decided to ensure that Christian principles remain as part of government. So from 1870, and within that next 90-year period, there had been a drastic change with inside the United States government. Now, after many legal battles, let's forward to 1962. School prayer was the first casualty of how they wanted to decide to define that First Amendment. There was an actual case titled Engle versus Vitale, and this was the first case in Supreme Court history to cite no court proceedings. Within 12 months, in two more cases, the Supreme Court justices removed Bible classes and religious instruction from all public schools, and the courts had continued to expand the separation doctrine over the years. In 1967, the Supreme Court even declared a four-line nursery rhyme unconstitutional in a kindergarten class. Why? Because though the word God was not mentioned, if someone were to hear the rhyme, he might have thought it was talking about God. So out it went. It was ruled to be out. Now, subsequent court rulings have gone as far as declare it unconstitutional for a copy of the Ten Commandments to hang in a school hallway and for teachers to even have a Bible visible on their desk. And increasingly, Americans no longer enjoy freedom of religion. We are kind of stuck with freedom from religion. Now, we know that our citizenship is in heaven, and we are to put that first over being a citizen here in America. We choose to obey God's laws and statutes over obeying man and the laws of this government. But now that the election process is over, we need to do our parts as members of God's soon coming government. Our job now is to pray. Pray for America, pray for this world, and pray for our American president. The Bible tells us that kings and leaders are not set up or taken down or removed without the hand of God being involved in that. So God, he does what he purposes to fulfill his plan. And we should do what the Apostle Paul said in the church of his day. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I will start at verse 1. And read through verse 4. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we see here that Paul encouraged his audience, and God also encourages us today, to pray for the leaders and all that are in authority so that we may be able to live in peace. Now, I found it interesting. Let's notice God's instructions to rulers of his nation, Israel. It concerns how the kings could ensure success and a peaceful reign for themselves and for their country. Deuteronomy chapter 17 tells us what a new ruler was to do when he was to come into power. I think we should take a look at this. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and start at verse 18. Also, it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So if we can take instruction from that passage there and kind of just relay it or deliver it to the current administration, the new administration, to take a look into God's law and try to do things his way, and I know that the outcome may be a little different. So we see here that God's word and his law is the key for our president to be successful. If he and other leaders would study and apply these biblical teachings, God will be with them. If they ignore these teachings, they will run the risk of serious mistakes and problems ahead of them. So there lies the key to wisdom and understanding of today's world events and what lies ahead for our nation. The reason that this nation has prospered throughout its remarkable history is because of God's direct blessing. But whether that blessing will continue depends on the attitude and the behaviors of our country's leaders and its citizens. Now, while it is important for us to pray for our leaders and those that are in authority, it's even more important for us to pray for God's kingdom that will come to replace all human kingdoms, governments, and authority. And this kingdom, Jesus Christ will reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he will not rule alone. Others will reign with him in his kingdom. He will be joined by God's faithful servants, which are the men and women who have dedicated themselves to learning and practicing godly rulership defined and amplified by Jesus Christ. Lastly, let's turn to Revelation chapter 20, and we can read about this here. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So as we can see there, that Christ is coming with the government, and it will erase and wipe out all the earthly authority that will be here, which is a very good thing. Now that the citizens of this country have elected their 45th president, it's time for God's elect to do their parts. We need to pray for the president and his staff using the scriptures and guidelines that have been recorded in the Word of God for our instructions, not only for them, but for God's soon coming kingdom that will come and bring real liberty and justice for all of humankind. Have a happy Sabbath.